Okay, I've already decided that I'm not a big fan of having Christmas on Monday. I don't think that works. I like having Christmas on like a Thursday because then you kind of get to roll into a weekend and you get a little more time to relax, maybe hang out with your family a little bit more. When it's on a Monday, you have this anticipation thing. I know, yeah, you're saying, okay, well, why don't you start earlier, JV? Why don't you just have everybody show up on Friday and then have the whole weekend to celebrate? But as you know, when you've got kids who are married and they've got other family obligations with in-laws and that kind of thing, it gets really complicated. So you're kind of stuck with Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and you got to do the division thing and all that, you know, spend for them. They got to spend time at each place or whatever. So you don't really get to do that. So I prefer, if we could work this out, it'd be great. I'm hoping someone can come up with a formula that'll make this happen. So Christmas, well, the December 25th will always fall on a Thursday. Let's have that happen. And then the 26th is always going to be another day off for people. And then you've got the weekend. And then you roll into that few days between Christmas and New Year's. And so you have like a whole nother week to hang out and do stuff. And the real world doesn't start turning again until the following week. I think we should vote on it. I think we should make it a law, and I think we should make that happen. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to start lobbying Congress for that. I hope you all had a really terrific holiday, despite the fact it was on a Monday. I hope Christmas was really good to everybody. As I said in several of my posts over the course of the weekend, I hope you got to spend it with friends and family, because that's really what it's all about. That's the most important thing. In fact, I think I posted a morning question saying, what was the most precious moment you had over this holiday season? And so many people said being able to spend it with friends and family. And that's what it's all about. So you guys really get it. And that's important. A couple things. We've got a great guest today. I'm going to be bringing in Sarah Janik in just a moment. She's a psychic medium. We're going to talk about her work and some of her perspective on paranormal stuff. You know, the things we normally talk about. But before we do that, I want to remind you, we've got a live investigation coming up that we're working hard at. We're planning it. As you know, there's a lot that goes into our live TV quality broadcasts of paranormal investigations. And we're in the planning stages for the one that we've got coming up in January. I'm not going to give you dates yet because they could be flexible and I don't want somebody to lock it in and then show up and have it find out that we had to move it to a different date. So when I have the dates 100%, I will announce that, and then you will be able to put it on your calendars. But just be watching for it, because we've got a couple great locations that we're going to be bringing you live investigations from. I also want to say this. I've got a new project in the works. I don't know how much I should talk about it. It's outside of Paranormal Reality TV. As you know, many of you know anyway, I hosted a radio program, a syndicated radio program through Westwood One Radio Networks. It was on about 100 radio stations around the country, and it aired late at night. It was with Jason Hawes from Ghost Hunters. You know Jason. He and I did the show together. We brought in guests, and we talked about a lot of different paranormal topics. It was called Beyond Reality. Well, there is in the works right now, a reboot of Beyond Reality, and it's going to be in video format. That's all I can really say, but just pay attention to social media, because when all those details get worked out, we will make announcements there, and then you'll be able to find out how you can watch, follow, and support this new venture, Beyond Reality TV. Now, let me just make it very, very clear. This is not instead of Paranormal Reality TV. No, it's an addition to. In fact, they're going to work together to support each other. So I'm excited about that. And then the final thing, talking about support, please take a moment and consider subscribing. We're heading into a new year. We've got a lot of stuff planned, a lot of great investigations planned on Paranormal Reality TV, plus interviews like the one we're going to have today. And your support means so much. If you are on Facebook, you can subscribe or you can contribute using the stars function, which we greatly appreciate all those who have already done that. If you're on YouTube and you like watching on YouTube, that's fine as well. But there's a different mechanism there. You have to use Super Chats, because we do not qualify, despite the fact we do qualify. YouTube has not given us the option to do memberships on our YouTube page. I don't know why they can't give me a straight answer, but it's not available there. So if you want to support us and you're on YouTube, Super Chats is the best way to do that. Any support you can offer us is very, very much appreciated. Now, I have talked way too much here. I told our guest I would only talk for like a quick intro, and it's been 5 minutes, but she's waiting very, very patiently. I want to introduce you to Sarah Janik. Sarah, welcome to the program. It's great to have you. I know you're very, very busy doing readings all the time, so thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day to chat with us.
Yes, thank you for having me, JB.
I want to learn about your journey to start off this conversation. First of all, how long have you been doing this in a somewhat professional perspective? And then when did you start to recognize these gifts that you had?
Yeah, so honestly, it took me a long time to, so I've had experiences from a very young girl. I remember having visits, especially at nighttime, by the same man. He would always step in. It kind of didn't matter what house we were in. But later, through seeing photos that my mom had of her father, who had passed away when I was like 2 or 3 years old, so my grandfather, pictures of him younger, then I realized that it was him. So he was actually with me in all of these houses. And I just kind of continued to have these experiences in every house that I lived in, and thought that every house that I lived in was just haunted. And I got into my nursing career and would get visits from patients before I had gone to work and knew that they had passed away, and kind of realized that it was me. And maybe not that I was living in all of these, you know, new build houses that were haunted and all of that. So it just kind of been my experience. It's been with me all my life. But professionally, I just stepped away from my nursing career and started working as full-time medium this last year, but have been doing readings for probably 5 to 6 years. So
I have to ask you a little bit more about your experiences as a nurse and having patients come to you, which basically told you that they had passed away. I mean, there, that sounds like a very emotional experience if we just strip everything else away from it, but very emotional, but also very spiritual. And do you think they came to you because you were a medium or because you were a caregiver of theirs at some point?
I think both, right? I think from readings, I found out that sometimes you might have a high school buddy hop in, right? And you're thinking, I will just, you know, that you just have your parents or grandparents, really close people. But sometimes, depending on life experiences and what we're going through at the moment, those people do hop in because we have that connection with them. So I think I was getting visited from them because I had a bond with them. But also, I think it's kind of like, I think mediums have kind of like a lighthouse beam that like goes out to the other side, and spirits, very, you know, they have a divine intelligence. I think they know who can see, hear, and feel them. So I think they kind of step in. Sometimes they'll get visits from people who I have no idea who in the heck they are, right? But I think they know that I know that they're here. So I think sometimes we get visits from those souls as well.
Why do you think some people have a heightened sensitivity? Obviously you do. I've talked with others on this program that do. I don't, at least I don't think I do. And if I have it, I don't know how to access it or manipulate it or use it. But why do you think it varies from person to person?
I don't know. I have no idea, to be honest. I just think some people are, and that's like, you know, some people are more sensitive. You say you're not, but I challenge you to think otherwise. You know, if you walk into a room and, you know, I mean, we train our military, right? You don't have to be a gifted psychic or medium to really read the energy of people. Like, you kind of know, like, this person has funky vibes. We're going to hit it, you know, like, I know that I don't want to be friends with him, or we're not going to hit it off. Or you walk into the room and you're like, oh, this guy feels good. Like, we're going to be buddies. Like, you kind of read people before you even realize that you're reading people. And I think we're kind of souls. We come here to Earth school to live, learn, and grow, and then return to this soul form. So I think if you think of it like that, it's not just special people that have this ability. I think we all are connected.
I think there's a lot of truth to what you say, in the sense that a lot of people, including myself, I can walk into a room, and if somebody's angry, you can sense that energy. Even if they're smiling, you can still sense that energy. Or if there's something else at play, there's an energy that you sense. And I fully have experienced that and recognized that. But then when I talk with someone like you, Sarah, or other mediums that I've spoken with, and I've watched them give readings, and they are actually having conversations with somebody who's passed, I don't do that. So there is a divide there somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know how or why it happens. I'm assuming that somehow I signed up for this gig, right? My soul knew that I was going to be having these experiences and hopefully opening people's consciousness to the fact that there's something more outside of this work. You know, the 9-to-5 job, the earth life, right? I think people's souls kind of have this like longing for something outside of a lot of this stuff that we get so caught up with in earth. And I think some people are just here to help do that, to kind of raise our consciousness. And I think you can do that in lots of ways. I don't think you necessarily have to just talk to dead people, but I mean, even in what you do, right? Or helping people understand that there's so much more than just the physical world. 9-to-5 job, the earth.
You might be hearing a bit of an echo there. I just had to fix something. Sarah, when you were recognizing these sensitivities, these gifts, when you were a child, did you talk to your parents about it? At what point did you go to mom or dad or someone, an adult, and say, "Hey, I have these voices. What's going on?"
Right. That is, so I'm not going to lie. It took me a long time to really own this. Being like very science brained, I was very driven, right? In nurse practitioner school, like I had the left brain thinking, like, I have to see it, hear it, feel it. Like I have to know that it's real to like, I just like, I like the facts. And so it took me a long time, especially like getting in my nursing career, to like realize that you don't have to be able to explain everything away, or sometimes science can't necessarily explain things, although I think science is kind of headed in a direction of being able to help understand and explain energy and consciousness and why and how that exists, that kind of thing. But it took me a long time to convince myself that it was me and that it wasn't just something that other people experienced, right?
Did it scare you? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it definitely scared me. I remember after I had my first son, I saw a man walk in the room and kind of look over at him in the crib. And I had to pull the covers up, right? I'm an adult, but I had to pull the covers up because I was like, we're taught to be afraid of this, although I don't think we need to be. But a lot of shows on TV have taught us that it's scary and just changes people's perceptions, I think, on souls and spirits and all of that.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. We are taught to fear it. Not all cultures are taught to fear it. We are, though. I don't know if that's good or bad or, you know, indifferent. I'll leave that for someone else to decide. But whether it's Hollywood or it's our parents, I mean, how many times do we hear the story about, you know, a child who's talking to what a parent will say is an imaginary friend? And you're basically taught that it's imaginary and just ignore it and it'll go away and whatever. And how long before that spirit that's communicating with that child gives up because the child is now being told to ignore them and they're doing their best to ignore them. And so the conversation ends and it doesn't happen again.
I absolutely think that's why so many people become disconnected from their natural abilities, right? Like we talk about like past lives. I'm not sure if you've got too much into that, but like research shows that, you know, kids, like even in 9/11, as recent as 9/11, are saying, "Hey, mom, I worked at this desk, an airplane crashed it." You know what I mean? Like so evidential and can explain names and all of this stuff. And I mean, it's just, there's so much that it's like hard to even explain, but people talk it away. And if you're somebody that has these experiences, a lot of times you will kind of change or tell yourself, this isn't real. I don't want to be, you know, not normal, right? Like we try so hard to fit in. And then one day it hits you that it's like, wait, I'm born to stand out. I'm not supposed to be like other people. This is actually a blessing. And then you kind of re-own that again. A lot of people disconnect from that because it's not normal. And yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah. Do you think that's, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, and if you don't have an answer for this, that's perfectly understandable because I'm not sure there is an answer for this, but do you think that's it's something that traditional religion has taught us, or is it more of a scientific thought has taught us to ignore these things? Where do you think that comes from?
I don't know, because as you were talking, it is very like cultural based, right? Like, the Native Americans, it was a super, like, you wanted to talk to your ancestors. Like, a lot of people over in Great Britain, there are some really amazing mediums there. Like, India, like the Hindu, like, there's so many cultures that this is normal. And for some reason in America, we've taught people that it's not, or that it's weird. And I don't know why. I find it weird that people don't accept it personally now. I've changed my perception so much, but that, and I will tell you, sometimes I have people come to me that say, well, you know, I had some religious people in my family. Why do they come and talk to you? And I think if God or source, whoever it is, if this was really wrong, if mediumship was wrong, if it wasn't okay to talk to our dead dads or moms or whoever, then God or their souls wouldn't come in and do it. So I personally believe, and you know, that is a completely different topic, but that religion has put a lot of containers on things that don't need to be contained.
All right, I'm gonna offer you a bit of my perspective on this, and you can take it or throw it away, it doesn't matter. But the bottom line is that one of the things, and I'm a Christian, I believe in God, but one of the things, and I'm a Catholic actually, and one of the things that I see is that whether it's Catholicism or another Christian religion in general, they get kind of ornery if you bypass them to talk to God without them. You know what I mean? I mean, the church yeah. itself doesn't necessarily want you to have a direct conduit to God or spirits or angels or whatever it happens to be. They want you to have to go through them. And that's where I start to have trouble with organized religion. Not so much in the teachings, but in that thing. There has to be some man or woman in between me and God to communicate. That's where I start to have problems. And I think that might be part of why religion tries to steer us away from that stuff.
Yeah. And I, you know, there are a lot of things. I 100% believe in God. I've had my own encounters with other, I mean, angels, I mean, like the saints, I believe all of that exists, right? Like it's an energy, it's there, it's higher guidance. It's meant to connect us to higher, more, like more love, more all of this. It definitely has a place, but like I said, I think a lot of stuff has been written in that kind of contains some things spiritually that shouldn't be or was never meant to be. And like connecting with a lot of people that have had near-death experiences that come back and share, you know, their encounters that, you know, that I've heard personally from them. It just, it's so much more than it's so much more than what we've written, in my opinion.
I want to take a second, just say hello to a bunch of folks who are checking in. Amanda, Mary Grace, Wendy, hello. Ginger from Michigan. Is that Ginger? No, Karen from Michigan. Hey, Karen. Hi, Ginger. And I know we've got other folks in the other chat rooms too, and I'll get to those in just a moment. We're talking today with Sarah Jenick. By the way, yes, you can visit Sarah's Facebook page, or you can visit her website, Sarah Jenick, it's her name, which you see on the screen there, .com, and get more information about her, find out how you can get a reading and that kind of thing. And before we continue the conversation, Sarah, can people book readings from you remotely? Is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the blessing, right? The one blessing from like COVID is that we figured out we can connect, but also it's, you know, it's yeah. made it almost too easy to connect in that way. So yeah, I do a lot of, actually almost all of my readings are virtual. So.
Okay. Again, you can Facebook and the website, sarahjenick.com. I want to talk about Christmas and the holidays because I don't know if there's something to this, but for me personally, being in this business and what I do, I hear from a lot of people, they seem to have a heightened frequency of spiritual connections, contacts, visitations, maybe during the holiday season. Is that something that's a real thing? Is there really something to that?
I'm going to say yes. Why? I think maybe it's because we have such a longing, I think, for a lot of people, right? Like the holidays can be very difficult for people, especially if you've lost a very close loved one. That grief kind of reminds you of that connection and all the memories come flooding back. And I think anytime you think of your loved ones, it actually makes the connection easier. Like it helps to pull them in. So I absolutely would agree with that.
And I also know that, I mean, like for me personally, my mother passed away a few years ago and she was such, she loved Christmas. I mean, a lot of people do, but my mother really loved Christmas. So anytime, you know, we're approaching Christmas, obviously I'm thinking about my mother. I mean, I think about her every day, but I think about her a lot more and more intensely as we approach Christmas because she loved that time. So does that open up a channel maybe where she's more apt or more easily available to communicate with me? I'm just, to use myself as an example.
Yeah, no, I absolutely think so. People that I find spirit in the most, like Christmas, but it's like celebrations, choices, times of like crisis, like changes, all of this, or when you call upon them or think of them, right? They no longer have the physical body. So they can step in and be with you with just the thought, like the connection, the consciousness of like, Mom, I need you right now. And she can be here. There is no time limit on that. She can show up and just with her thoughts. So
I saw a post you made on Facebook, and maybe you made it elsewhere as well. And you were talking about, and forgive me, I don't remember, was it your grandmother? You had a dream, and then the next morning you saw a ladybug. Am I remembering this post correctly?
Yes, I have ladybugs attached to my grandmother. So I had a dream visit from her, I believe a couple of weeks ago, but I also knew that she was around me. I could like kind of see her out of the corner of my eye throughout the day. It's hard to explain. I don't necessarily connect with my own loved ones in the same way that I do yours, because I feel like they're with me all of the time. Maybe not every day, but you know what I'm saying? I get kind of sensitized to them. So she was with me throughout the day, had a dream visit of her. And then the next time, the ladybugs. It was super cool because I had like a little nest of ladybugs on my front porch and then found one in my bathroom. So I always say, if you know, a lot of times people think that connecting to their loved ones in spirit is outside of them. So I always say, give your loved one a specific sign, right? Something unique to them that reminds you of them.
All right.
And sometimes it's super cool. Really unique things will come through in readings like that for people. So
So here's a question as it relates to that, because again, in my mathematical mind, as opposed to my more free thinking mind, I have to ask, how does somebody know? Let's use ladybugs as the example. How does somebody know that when you see a ladybug on your window, that it might be a sign from, in your case, your grandmother, versus just a random encounter with a ladybug? Or is every random encounter with ladybug a sign from your grandmother?
I hear you. I completely resonate with you. Like you're in the left brain thinking, right? Like it's so easy to rationalize these signs from spirit, especially if you don't hear it, see and feel them like I do. But if you give a specific sign, pick something really unique, like a yellow elephant or something, right? I promise you, you're going to start to see that. And I always like to tell people, how do you know that that is your loved one? If it makes you think of them, you have a memory, it gives you like this special feeling, please know that that's like them stepping in to like reassure that like, I know you're thinking of me at this moment, right? They can't necessarily pick up and put a ladybug in front of you, but they can affect your consciousness and give you these memories or this feeling of love or whatever it is that you experience when you see that.
That makes a lot of sense.
So
that makes a lot of sense, actually. Another post you made that I want to ask you about, and this may not be something you do on a regular basis, so I'm not sure how much detail we can get into here, but you talked about numbers in one of your posts, and you were talking about, you know, different combinations have different meanings. I know for years in the paranormal community, the spiritual community, we've talked about the significance of 11-11 and seeing 11-11 show up on the clock, and you happen to look over and it's 11-11, you know, and a lot of people feel like that combination of numbers has a very deep significance. I'm not sure what the significance is, but there are attachments to these numbers. How do you see it? And specifically 11-11, does that have a meaning for you?
11-11. I think that honestly is, you know, we were talking about how what you and I do, it kind of helps people to realize that there's more to the world, more to the physical plane, that, you know what I mean? More to life than just like physical earth and being human and working your 9-to-5 job and all of these things. 11-11, to me, we're encountering or connecting to a higher consciousness, right? When you see something, it gives you this feeling that kind of reminds you that we're so much more connected and so much more than just the physical human. So I always say 11-11 is like, it's kind of like connecting you to the higher consciousness. You start thinking more or higher outside of just the physical plane. And I think that kind of started to come about like in the last maybe decade-ish or so. I think people really talked about seeing 11-11 prior to that or had a meaning. But then you come into all these other numbers and like you think of the angels when you see like the 444 or 111 is like always like pay attention to your thoughts. You're really bringing in or manifesting what you're thinking about, good, bad, or ugly. It's what you're going to, you know, your intention, the things you think about, that's going to be what you connect to. It's like the, what do you say? There's like a theory. It's like a white car theory, right? You buy a white car and then you start seeing these white cars everywhere, but you never saw a white car prior to that. It's like you pay attention to it. You start seeing the signs, like doors start to open.
Ginger's asking a question that relates to this, and I'm not, you know, sometimes my audience uses more sophisticated language than I do, so I'm not entirely sure what the question means, but maybe you'll know. Ginger wants to know, could numerology become a direct connection? I'm assuming she's meaning, are there ways to use numbers to directly connect to the other side in some fashion?
I'm not going to say no. There is, you know, I always say like 3-3, that's definitely like a connection more to like the higher beings, our spirit kind of thing. God, Jesus, whoever it is that you connect to, that ascended masters, that kind of thing. So maybe if you start seeing that, you really start feeling, or I don't know. I always feel interested in connecting more to the other side. You should start with meditation because our minds get so busy throughout the day thinking of the to-do list, the tasks, the stress. I got to take the kids here. I got to do that for dinner. You know, it's kind of hard to be receptive and understand that what you're getting is actually coming from outside of you if your mind's always really busy. So I always recommend meditation first. Numerology, maybe. I don't know. Not personally for me, but I'm not going to say that it might not be for you.
I think that's great advice for a lot of things. I think if we slow down, we clear our minds and get rid of the clutter, particularly the clutter that comes from these devices that we have constantly in our hands, it seems. If we get rid of that noise, we're more apt to not just be calmer and more serene ourselves, but certainly have an opportunity to get messages or some type of contact from maybe loved ones or friends that have passed. I think that's a very good advice, Sarah. Again, we're talking with Sarah Janik. You can find out more information about her on her Facebook page, also website sarahjanik.com. Sarah, do you have other social media that you like people to visit?
I mean, mostly Instagram and Facebook. It's pretty same. I share like similar stuff there, but it's Sarah Janik Medium on both.
Perfect.
You know, I wanted to share too, as we're talking about relaxing, mm-hmm. I find that more people have visits from their loved one in spirit. At nighttime, people are like, oh, it's like the hour, which maybe that's like your connection to whatever it is that you connect with. But I find that in the evening when you're at home watching TV, maybe you see like a glimpse of something out of your eye, or you kind of get like your hair kind of stands on it and you're like, hey mom, I know that's you, like a little shout out. Or like at nighttime, right when you're sleeping, I think it's easiest for them to step in because that is when your mind is most relaxed and receptive, right? You're not thinking about all these things. So there's a reason why I think people have more connection to their loved ones in the evening or at nighttime, early morning, that kind of thing, because your mind is just so calm.
All right, Sarah, I'm going to ask you to solve a mystery for me right now, because I don't know if this has to do with age or what it has to do with, and maybe you'll provide some insight here. But recently, personally, this whole seeing things out of the corner of your eye, you know, catching something over here and then looking, but there's really nothing there. That's been happening a lot more to me personally lately. Any insight? I mean, am I going crazy or is something else going on here?
No, I absolutely think you're seeing things. And the whole reason that you're saying it's going away is because you become conscious, right? Your mind's relaxed. TV probably, you're not thinking about anything. You're just taking in everything. You see the flash out of the corner of your eye. And the second you look, you become conscious of what you're seeing. And you're like, oh, that's not really what I'm seeing, right? Or that's not my mom. That's not my dog, that kind of thing. So I think people tend to think and kind of get in their own way of these connections. Yes, I absolutely think you're seeing something, and it very well could be age. I find that a lot more people as we get older tend to be more receptive. Why? Because we don't care about all of the other jargon, other people's perceptions, that kind of thing. Like you kind of start shedding that naturally as you get older.
I don't know what kind of nurse you were. I'm not sure it's important, but did you have any experiences with patients who may have been terminal, who had deathbed, I guess they're called visitations? Did you ever have any experiences with that?
I did a few, a couple in dialysis, but I would say more so early and more so in the operating room. I worked in the OR and then also assisted living. So I did notice that, like, when people would say, "Hey, mom," hey, dad," or whatever, you know, when they start talking to their other people, it's like a your sign as a nurse that, like, they're going to be transitioning soon. They're starting to see their mom and dad or their son that they lost when they were, you know, super young. So yes, and I can tell you that, like, I from like my own experiences could tell that the mom was there. I could see her, or I could really feel her. Like I would feel my hair standing up, and I'm like, oh, she is really here. They're like coming to get her. So yeah, that's definitely a thing.
Well, again, not to talk about my personal tragedies, but I lost my mom and my father and my father-in-law and my uncle all within a couple of years. And each one of those people had these types of visitations, and I was there to experience it with them. And I'm very, very convinced that those are spiritual visitations. And as you said, it's kind of preparing them for making that transition, because it every time it was like very shortly after that that they passed.
Usually within like a 2 week-ish
Yeah,
period,
that's
right? Like
right.
it's very short.
That's right. Here's a little bit more. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I kind of liken the dying process almost to like the birthing process, right? Like the baby is coming into this world, they're ready to be born, and everybody's so excited to greet them. I really feel like it's the exact same thing when we transition back to the soul form.
I have a little bit more involved question here from Robin. Robin says, at my mother-in-law's gravesite service, there was a bird chirping during the service, and it stopped when the service ended. Then a yellow butterfly flew in between me and my family members when we were talking about the service. And then finally, when my husband and I pulled into our driveway at home, a beautiful red cardinal flew right in front of our car. Could these be signs that my mother-in-law was with us?
Yes, absolutely. I say trust it, right? Whatever it is that makes you think of your loved one, whenever you get that feeling, that sense of knowing, that's them trying to like connect to you. So, in whatever way it is, a lot of times people attach flying things to your loved ones. Why? Because they're in the sky, right? They're higher, all of that. But yes, absolutely. I say trust it. Because when you start doubting and getting in your way, you make it hard. And some people are like, well, I've never had a visit from my dad. And it's like, I'm pretty sure you have. I think you're like pushing away the connection, or you're overthinking, right?
Pam
So.
says, Sarah, do you believe it's possible to see a soul leave as they transition? I'm assuming. Pam says that she actually saw this with her mom.
Yes. One time, when I was working in the OR, it was kind of a tragic accident. There was a young girl. I think they were traveling for the holidays. Her and I think her siblings and I think one of her parents had passed, but we actually, the surgeons and the doctors, everybody's in the room trying to work and try to help, right, to save these people. And I can tell you very well that I saw this girl. I don't remember. She was probably like 12, 13 years old. I saw her soul, and this was really one of the first times that I had like one of these really profound experiences where I could tell she was like standing there in the room with us, but I could tell she was no longer living, even though they were trying to revive her. I actually saw that and experienced it. That's when I was like, whoa, like it's just, it's so surreal. It's hard to explain unless you've seen it, but I absolutely believe you can. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to apologize to my audience because I've told this story so many times, but it's such a profound story for me. I didn't see my mother's soul leave her body, but I felt it. And I had been in an ICU room for 4 days as she was slowly passing. And when she took her last breath, it was seconds after that, I actually felt a breeze come across my cheeks from left to right. And I had been in that room for 4 days and never felt a breeze, never saw a curtain move. You know, these ICU rooms are very, very controlled. The air is controlled. Everything is controlled. And there's no air movement like that until she took her last breath. And then I felt it and I knew it was her. I mean, so I didn't see it, but I felt it, Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, that gives me the goosebumps as you tell me that. I can, I get the, like, the willies thinking about it. You know, after my husband's mom passed away, he's very open to what I do, but he's very much like he would rather be watching football or, you know, doing his live thing. But after she passed away, it was the next day, we both had a crazy experience like that, right? We were sitting on the couch, he was crying, my husband doesn't shed too many tears, but he was. And she stepped in, my hair stood on end. I felt such a, I don't know, like a heavenly presence. It was crazy. I looked at him. He said, I knew at that moment, I'm like, you feel this too. Like he felt her and we both felt her together. It was so crazy. But if you've had that experience of having your loved one step in, it's overwhelming. You very well know what you're experiencing.
Ginger wants to know if you think that the souls of pets or animals can also connect in similar ways that we're discussing with people.
Yeah, absolutely. Pets help readings. Lizard, bird, dogs, and cats. They're an unconditional love. I think anytime you have a bond of love with somebody here in the physical world, their soul is definitely there waiting for you.
I want to switch topics here because we only have a few minutes left with you, and I know you've got a schedule to keep. So I want to talk a little bit about your YouTube show. Now, I'm not exactly sure. I didn't get really a chance to watch too much of it. I did watch a little bit, but it's called Lost and Found: The Missing with Sarah Janik. What's this all about?
Whoa. Okay. So after I really started getting mediumship and owning it, I started in my state when I have dreams connecting to people that had passed and their souls lost, right? So they were that thing. And I could hop on Google and actually figure out that, like, by name, the location, what happened to them. I could tell that I was picking up on these souls that had gone missing. And I just have such I don't know, it pulls on my heart so much. You know how hard it is grieving the loss of a very close family member, right? If you've lost both of your parents. Having a child or a loved one gone missing where you don't have the answers, you don't have the closure, maybe you don't find their body, you can't have a problem, like it just pulls apart so much. And reason I've had this, so I just recently that it's kind of a project I do outside of readings. It's like on my own time, so it's not like I post videos every week, but I just like to share those stories. I don't know, they call to me so much. So the
program, again, it's called Lost and Found: The Missing with Sarah Janik. The program is you're sharing their story. Do you have an opportunity, or has it happened for you yet where you've made the connection with one of these folks where you can actually give some information to the family or to law enforcement to help in the resolution of that case?
Yeah, I've actually read for a few families that have family members that have gone missing, but it's very difficult, right? A lot of places where people go missing, there's very high like drug usage, a lot of people missing. It's hard to get like cadaver dogs in to kind of help go in some bodies. So I haven't been involved with the police yet, but I'm trying to figure out how to, because I know that I feel that's one of my soul's callings is to help find some missing people for families that need answers.
Well, that's really noble and generous of you. I mean, that is, because you're absolutely right. There is, and I fortunately have never had to experience this, but I know some people who have, there's no greater pain than having that massive unknown if you've got a family member missing. You know, some people think finding out they've passed is worse, but I'm not so sure that's always the case. I mean, it's just the resolution that can help begin the healing process. And without that resolution, the healing never starts. So thank you for doing that, Sarah. That's really noble work.
Yeah, you're so welcome. It's my pleasure.
Yeah. Let's talk.
I was just going to say, you know, a lot of the cases that do make national attention, right? The Natalie Holloway case, her father, her parents are like, I'm never going to give up looking for my daughter. These people don't only have to deal with the grief of having lost their loved ones, but they have this lingering, could she still be alive? Maybe she's not. What happened? And it just, I mean, it's torturous. It really is. It's horrible. And so that's my goal, is to try to help get some closure people and way. So
in the couple minutes we have left, I want to ask you also about the streams you do on. I've seen them on Facebook. I don't know if you do them elsewhere, but you've got I think another medium that joins you, Carlos. I think, is that something you do on a regular basis, and what's that about?
We usually do. We try to live every few Thursdays or so a month, just to do some live readings. We usually do like spirit led. So, but we've recently thought maybe we should like somebody up on screen and actually direct reading or something for them.
Oh, nice. And that's on your Facebook page?
Yes. I think we're going to start after the new year again. We're taking a few weeks off just because it's so busy, but yeah, we'll do more of that.
And absolutely. Then the final thing I need to ask you about, I'm pretty sure you're in Colorado, right? Whereabouts in Colorado are you? Because I think, if I figured it out correctly, you're pretty close to Estes Park, Colorado, right? Are you close to Estes Park?
I am.
Where the Stanley Hotel is?
Super close to the Stanley. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like 45 minutes from the Stanley. So I'm just like outside of Loveland, Greeley. I'm not sure if you've heard of that.
I absolutely have. Yes, I absolutely have.
Okay.
Is it South Park based on that area? The South Park cartoon? Isn't it based on that area? South Park,
that's in Denver, right? With Casa Bonita.
Yeah.
And all of, hear that they actually just bought, the makers of South Park actually just bought Casa Bonita and have redone it.
Oh, seriously?
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
But yeah, we try to get up to the Stanley and the mountains and all of that. I love it.
It's beautiful.
I can never
up there.
Get enough, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful. We've spent a lot of time there doing paranormal investigations and events. I don't think they embrace that as much as they did for a while. I assume if people want to go do it, they can. You have to check with the Stanley, but they don't do the events like they used to do. If I've heard correctly, do you know?
Not as much anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm not sure why, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So again, people can contact you, Sarah, for readings, and just give us a detailed way of how someone could do that if they were interested.
Yeah. You can find me at sarahjanik.com or just by Googling Sarah Janik Medium. There should be a link through there that connects my website or find me on Twitter.
Awesome.
So
thank you so much for the time today. It was a great conversation. I hope you have a great new year coming up here and had a great Christmas and all that stuff.
You too. Thank you for having me.
And we'll certainly talk about having you back on again too. So we'll reach out about that.
Maybe we could do some readings or something.
Oh, that'd be a lot of fun. All right. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Take care. Again, thanks, Sarah. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, guys. Bye, JV. Thank you.
Okay. So once again, you can go to Sarah's website, sarahjanik.com. J-A-N-I-K is how you spell her last name. And there's an H in Sarah. I hope we didn't get to all the questions. You know, we just didn't have a lot of time. Sarah has readings to do. She said she was able to give us about 45 minutes. So we appreciate that. But you can reach out to her on Facebook and or her website. So, a short show today. I mean, this is a busy week for people, and I understand that. And if you're listening to the show as the podcast version of it, which is a great way to do it because you can do it at your leisure. But then again, you can watch the Facebook stream at your leisure, and you can also watch the YouTube stream at your leisure. So it can all kind of be done that way. But if you are, hope everybody's got some great goals and aspirations coming up for the new year. It's a great time to think about doing things to improve ourselves and help others. And I hope you're all taking a minute to consider that. Once again, if you can find it in your heart to help support our programs, we'd appreciate that. You can subscribe on Facebook. It's very easy. For less than a cup of coffee, the price of a cup of coffee, you can do that. You can also send us, they're called stars on Facebook. They're super chats on YouTube. They're cheers or bits on Twitch. And they're pills on Foxhole Pilled. Any of those contributions are very, very welcome as well. It'll help us get out and do these investigations that we're planning because we've got a great year of stuff planned. And then once again, finally, I will remind you that we've got a new program that's going to be starting. Jason Hawes and I will be doing Beyond Reality TV. I don't know the start date yet. I don't know how it's going to be accessed, what channel it's going to be on, but all that stuff, just keep an eye out for it. And we will make sure that you're in the know when we have those details ready. A live investigation coming up in a few weeks too, so get ready for that. And in the meantime, you'll catch Britt and I here on this channel when we have an opportunity to jump on. We've got a lot more evidence to review from. Thank you, Robin. Thank you very much for the stars on Facebook. Very, very much appreciated. And I also want to thank everybody who is joining us through Pilled/Foxhole. It's good to be back there. We've done so much stuff there in the past, and we are just now moving the paranormal stuff there. So we're grateful to everyone who's joined us there. Anyway, be watching for some evidence review and some other stuff that Britt and I've got coming up here on Paranormal Reality TV. If I don't have a chance to say it again, which I hope I do, but have a happy, happy new year. Hope you get a chance to celebrate the coming of 2024 with friends, family, and doing it in a very, very safe way. We'll talk to you again soon.